And so our guest tonight, of course, as we've mentioned, is Dr. John Stevens, and he's been a blessing to so many churches. He has actually been the interim pastor of many churches, and he has helped them through some of the most difficult times that they would face, because a transition, a church can go have so many things that go wrong, but it's so wonderful to have a seasoned person. And you notice how I said seasoned. I didn't even say old, what your wife said you were. Marilyn said you were old. I said seasoned. Seasoned.
Well stricken in years.
Well stricken in years. Wow. Well, you don't get all that white hair or what's left by being young. So Brother Stevens is a great blessing. He's been a blessing to churches, as I was saying, that as he comes in, a seasoned man who has been there and who has done it, and is able to come into a church and help them navigate through a sometimes treacherous way, and somebody that's able to give stability, and he's been a blessing. But that's what he's done to other churches. And then to this church, though, he has become our friend. And of course, he was here before I got here, but we try to have him back and often, and we're so thankful that he and Marilyn were able to come by, and they were going to be through on Tuesday, and I asked, please stay over and be here with us on Wednesday, and so he graciously agreed, and so here he is. And so we're so thankful for our friend, Dr. Stevens. He was our interim pastor for the time in between Brother Jody and myself, and was able to be a great, great blessing to the church, and our church owes him a great, great debt. And so we're thankful for Dr. John Stevens, and we're going to ask him to come preach for
us. Thank you, preacher.
Thank you.
Very kind of you to do that. I'm glad to be here. I rejoice. This is a church that of the 13 that we've done, this is the one of the highlights right here. And we always look forward. Pray for your preacher and the staff by name five times a week. I just feel the need to do that, and I thank the Lord. It's been a blessing to me. Good to have Marilyn here. Where are you, honey? She might have left. She said, I've heard you preach so much and the same messages over and over again. Where are you, honey? There she is. Next week, a week from today, we will be married 60 years. Somebody say amen or oh my or something. I told her if she ever leaves me, I was going with her. And so we thank the Lord for her. And rejoice in that. I want to have you take your Bibles and turn to Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter. Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter. I had breakfast this morning, Brother Lassley. You know, he tells everybody that when he goes out and eat, he has oatmeal. He has biscuits and gravy. Yeah, and that's what he has, but we love him. I was out with Larry Stover and Leonard the other day as well. I really came up here for three reasons. One, to see Summer over here and the Scroggs and talk to her about her ministry. And I wanted to bring, we can't be here for the wedding next week, so we brought a picture. And then the third reason is to pick up my new car that Larry Stover owns. Take it down with me, so that's why I'm here. I want you to turn to the book of Mark, the fourth chapter. And I forgot my glasses, my reading glasses, so you all look kind of blurry. Some of you look better that way, I think, but anyway, I want to read verses 35 down to verse 41, if I could, please. And that same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, that's his disciples, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat on the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, we pray, as we spend some time in this scripture, that you would speak to our hearts tonight and Teach us what you would have us from this scripture. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Does anybody here have any family in Florida? Pray for them. The whole church should pray for those that are going through it in Florida. We have a brother-in-law and sister, one of Marilyn's sisters, who are the assistant pastor in Tampa, Florida. And this storm will devastate them. They've never been through anything like this. 33 years ago, last week, we went through Hugo. It was devastating. I can't explain to you that storm and what it did to our state, our city. Just ripped it apart, and it took years to put it back together. And I'm sure that they're going to go through and pray for those people, because I share with you tonight that we lost no one during the storm. It was after the storm. People did foolish things, some things that weren't wise, and therefore many were killed. So pray for them, because they're going through a storm. And I want to talk tonight about the storms of life. Even as they were going through that storm, as those people in Florida are going through that horrible storm, maybe tonight there are those who are going through a different kind of storm. It's a spiritual storm. You're going through it. Now, the storms of life, let me say they're unexpected. Who would have known a month ago that Florida was going to be hit the way they're going to be hit today? They're unexpected. Someone said it well when he said, you are either in one trial, or you're headed into one, or you're emerging from one. How many are going through a trial tonight? Is something very difficult? Let me see your hands. Many of you are raising your hands. Storms of life are like that. Trials are like storms of life. They're unexpected, and they are unescapable. Turn with me. We'll go back to this passage. We'll get back to it in a moment, I hope. But go with me to the book of James. Just go over there in chapter 1. I have been pastoring now for 53 years, 40 of those, then three different churches, and in the last 13 years, Marilyn and I have been doing interims. And from now on, we're probably not going to do any more interims. We did our last one about in Hendersonville, North Carolina. But I thought about the many people we met, the many people who were going through. I know, Joe, you're going through a storm right now in your life with your wife. There are others who are going through different. Bob, you're going to be operated on. You're going through a storm. Of course, Charlotte's been going through a storm for a number of years when she married you, but that's a different kind of storm. In all seriousness, though, turn with me to James 1 and look there. And I draw your attention to these verses, verse 1 and verse 2, particularly because they are unexpected, they are unescapable. You can't get out of them. They're going to happen while you're here on this earth. But I want you to notice something, and for the longest time, I had a problem with verse 2. But read verse 1 first, and James, a servant of God and the 12 tribes, which are scattered abroad. And he says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all what? Joy. Notice, not if, but when. Not if, but when you are unto divers temptation. Count it all joy when. And I said to myself one day, I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me here. How can you have the joy when you're going through it? Well, the answer is in verse 1. Only when you come to the place you recognize, and I recognize that we're servants of Him. We belong Him. He owns us. And He puts nothing into our lives that is not best for us. And we need to come to that conclusion. So here it says, servant of God, a slave, a bond slave of the Lord. And because of that, God will never put us through anything that is not best for us. And right now, I hope those who are in Florida and you are going through some trials tonight, you say, they are not only unexpected, they are not only unescapable, they are unexplainable. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. More than once, I've been through trials and you've been through trials, and they just want to tear you apart. But you know, if you're a servant of the Lord and you see yourself as a servant, you can say, Lord, you're going to take care of it. And he'll give you the joy that passes all understanding. Storms are not only sudden, they're very sacred. Sacred? How can a storm be sacred? Let me say, every storm, every trial, every problem, every challenge in your life, you ready for this? God has permitted it. It was sent to you from God. Sent to you from God. Listen, we need what I like to call the Genesis 50-20 principle. Genesis 50, verse 20. Turn there with me. I call it the 50-20. Turn there with me to the book of Genesis. Now, this is about Joseph. And Joseph, you know, went through tremendous trials. And as he went through these trials, he came to a conclusion that we all do. Every trial, every storm of life, every difficulty, God sent it. Look over there in chapter 50, verse 20. But his brothers had come. Joseph, look at verse 19. Joseph said to them, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God." Then he said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto what?" Everything in your life is not there without God sending it. We need to follow the 50-20 principle. Matter of fact, if you just go with me to chapter 45, this was the final time he talked about that. But go to chapter 45, three times in chapter 45, in verse 5 and in verse 7 and in verse 8, he talks about the same thing. Look there in verse 5. "Now therefore," he's talking to his brothers who put him through tremendous trials, who put him through the storms of life that were just almost overwhelming. Verse 5, "Nevertheless, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me, for," get this, "for God did send me before you to preserve life." Here we deal with the providence of God. You believe in the providence of God? Listen, everything is in the providence of God. He said here, before you, then if you go down to verse 7, he says something else. And God, notice he says in verse 5, "God sent me," but in verse 7, "God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in this earth." He, not only do we see God's providence, but we see God's preservation. God's preservation. Then I go down to verse 8. "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he had made me a father to Pharaoh." Here we see God's provision. You know what God did? God put him in charge of Pharaoh's whole economy. Well, I'd like to have that guy today, wouldn't you? We got a guy heading outside of sight. Never mind. Quit that, Stevens. I'm sorry, preacher. I'm referring to our president. Forgive me if I've offended you. Get your offender fixed. Look, they are sent by God. Now, trials, they are the. Tonight you can be in the perfect will of God and go to one of the most powerful storms of life you've ever gone through. Get that? You can be in the perfect will of God and go through that storm in your life. Would you get that? So these storms are sent by God, and they're a mystery. I don't understand why God does what he does. Do you? That's a mystery. When God decided to give us a handicapped daughter, it was a mystery to me. I mean, hey, God, I'm serving you. I'm a pastor. God said, I know, but this is going to be for your good. God. Providence. God's protection. All the things that God does. I want you to turn here. Storms are not only a mystery. I don't understand. I don't understand why a Summer, who wants to go to the mission field, is having physical. I don't understand it. I don't think your dad or mom, I don't think anybody here understands that. It's a mystery. Preacher, you don't understand it. I don't understand it. But God said, I've sent it. I got a purpose behind it. And Summer will be a better missionary because God sent it. And I want us all to see that. Turn with me to the New Testament and go over to the book of 1 Peter. And turn there, if you will, please, to 1 Peter. Go there to the fifth chapter of 1 Peter. Chapter 5. Look there with me. As we look at there, he gives us some tremendous insight. Storms are a mystery. Storms are miraculous workings of God as well. Note here in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth you. Now the word translated care here is that which God has put a burden on your life. God has said, I'm going to do that. That's what it is. God just gives you something in your life. He says, I want him to have that. I want her to have that. But I draw your attention to verse 10, because he will say four things in verse 10. I hope you'll get them, because they're absolutely important in the storms of your life, in the trials you're going through. Look over there, if you will, in verse 10. He'll make four statements in verse 10. I'll read the verse and then go back to each one. But the God of all grace, who hath called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, that's the trial you're going through, that's the difficulty you're facing, that's what they're doing in Florida right now. But if they're a Christian, need to be a different reaction. After you have suffered a while, he says, fourth thing, he'll make you perfect, he'll establish you, strengthen you, and settle. Now get those four words. The word perfect here means to fix that which is broken. It's the same word that is translated in Mark 1, verse 19, when they were mending their nets that were broken. It could be there's something in your life that's broken that God said, I'm going to put this here because it'll fix you. It'll fix you. You need to be fixed God's way. And notice the second one. That means to firm up your faith. We're going to see, if you look at this, over here in chapter 4, the book of Mark, we're going to see there, he said, where's your faith? They had needed their faith strengthened. And God will put you through something. It's your faith to be stronger because of it, if you'll let him do it. The third word here means to establish. That's the word to firm up your faith. And strengthen, it means to be filled with his strength. Remember the Apostle Paul went through that time where he prayed three times. God would remove the thorn in his flesh. And then he finally said, I'm stronger now because of this infirmity in my flesh. That's the paraphrase of the thought of it right there. First, to perfect us, to fix things in our life that need to be fixed. There's something in my life. God said, come, I'll bring a storm along to help you fix it. To firm up your faith, to fill you with strength and settle. That means to be fortified in your beliefs. Be fortified in your beliefs, you know. I have found that every trial I've gone through, it's done something for my faith, my belief. Man, you know, somebody said to me one time, says, what's it like to go through a Hugo? You can talk to somebody about it. You can read about it. But until they experience, they're really not going to know what you're going through. And when you go through something, God puts you through it, and you'll be able to look somebody else in the eye and say, look, I just want you to know it's real. God's real. We need to see God is real in our lives, and God is going to do that. Storms are sent by God. They're this mystery. I don't understand God. God does what he does. They're miraculous in his workings. God just does some things that he can't do without. Listen, some of the best sermons you'll hear are the sermons of your trials. They're going to be the best ones. You'll learn more from them probably than you will from me here tonight. And storms have a purpose. Let me say something. When you're going through a trial, get your focus off the trial. Get your focus off of the off of self, get your focus off the storm, get it off of yourself, and get it on the Savior. Get it on him. Get it on him. And you'll find, listen, We're strange people. You know, it's amazing how we will write out all our trials in marble, so we'll remember them, and all our blessings in sand. We soon forget them. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Amen. You know, I have found if you don't have a trial, you don't have a testimony. Listening to you don't have a trial, you don't have a testimony. Isn't it great to be able to share with people when God took you through something? You say, the Lord did this, the Lord did this. Hallelujah for that. And so you see, the storms of life, they're sudden. I don't know when my next one's coming. I don't know when. I wish I could give my next trial to your preacher. He's young. He got to be able to handle it better. He's able to handle it better. The storms of life are sudden, and they're sacred. They're very sacred. Everyone that comes storm, every trial that comes in is a mystery, but it certainly is the miraculous working of God. You believe in miracles? You get through a storm and you turn it over to God. That's a miracle. And God will do this thing in your life that will never be forgotten. Your focus should not be on what you're going through, but on the one who will take you through it. That's the Lord Jesus. Where's your focus tonight? Some people, I'm afraid to ask him how you doing. I don't have an hour and a half as they tell me how bad things are. Is God good to you? Are you saved tonight? God's good. I pray for Benjamin. Been praying three times a week for him since we talked the last time. The storms of life also they're not only sudden, and they certainly are not only sacred. They are sent from who? Who sends the storms in your life? Who? Would we find the Genesis 50:20 principle? God sends them. But storms of life are the servants of the Savior. Now, they are controlled by his promises. Go back to our text. I knew I'd get to it eventually. Look there. And verse 1 says, verse 35 said, and that same day when evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over unto the other side. Get those words, let us pass over to the other side. Who's saying this? Jesus to his disciples. They're in the ship. Now let me tell you something, folks. If he said we're going to pass over to the other side, that's a promise. How could they be perish in the storm if they wouldn't get to the other side? If you're perish in the storm, then you're not going to get to the other side. But it was the Savior who said, we're going to get on the other side. You know, the older I look, I'm looking forward to the other side. I'm looking forward to it. I'm only 18. I mean 81, but I'm looking forward to the other side. I really am, because it's going to be wonderful to see my Savior face to face and see my two kids that are already up in heaven and see Christina, my handicapped daughter, just run across and give me a big hug. That'll be a blessing. You all have those, I hope, people that you think about and rejoice in. So the storm, they're under the Savior's control. Why do I know? They said, and if you look at our text there, he said, now go to the other side. And then you come down here at verse 38, the last few words of verse 30, he said, Master, cares not that we perish. Well, how can they perish if God promised them they're going to get to the other side? Blah, 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 blah. They're going to get over there because he said so, right? And I think we all have to come to the conclusion, God's promises, he's going to keep them. He's not a promise breaker. He's a promise keeper. Think with me also as I look at this. They are not only controlled by his promises, but they are controlled by his presence. Look there with me. Let's read down here in verse 36, 37, and 38. Verse 36, and when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there was a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ships, and so that it was now full. I was turning on the news, looking at the storms hitting. It just reminded me so much that night when Hugo hit us at 150 mile an hour wind and tore everything up, and And God took us through it. You know, He promised. He promised that God will be there. His promises. And they're controlled by His presence because they, notice here, He's asleep. Look there. And I concentrate on verse 38 as I think about it. He was in the hinder part of the ship, what? Sound asleep on a pillow. Now, I have a hard time meditating and getting the full pick of that verse. Now, Jesus Christ is very God, a very God. Amen? He's 100% God, but He also was 100% man. He was the God-man. In theological terms, they call that the hypostatic union. God and man join at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I think of that, and it says He fell asleep. His wasn't that God was asleep, it was man was asleep, but He was God. Now, if you go to verse 1 of chapter 4, you begin to understand why He was exhausted. You look there, and He began, verse 1 of chapter 4, to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered to Him a great multitude, so that He entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea, the land. And if you read the rest of that, I mean, He was teaching, He was preaching, He was doing the most miraculous. He was wore out. I know, preacher, the older I get, I got to go take a nap after I preach tonight. Then I'll go to sleep. We get tired. Exhaustion. And He was exhausted here. And He couldn't keep awake. He just went to sleep. But as God, He was wide awake. God is wide, wide awake. I was thinking of this. I have a son who is a naval officer in the United States Navy. Grandson. And his name is Zach. And Zach decided he's going to be a Navy SEAL. Well, you have to understand something. You have to be either so sold out to what you're doing or mentally disarranged to be a Navy SEAL. The training they put them through. They have 2 weeks they call Hell Week. Now, I'm not cussing. The first one, they did it up in New England someplace. They started out with 160. When they got to California, they were down to 111. The second tough week, which he just went through, it went from 111 down to 30. He's still in. But these people just were exhausted. They had to do a 200-mile run that week, swim and everything else. And he was, matter of fact, he got COVID during it. He was exhausted. You know what the Army Navy said? If he'd walked up and said, "I got the COVID, can I go to sleep?" No. We own you. Lock, stock, and barrel, you do what we say. I'm glad to say tonight that Jesus owns me. I need to learn that whatever He says for me to do, I need to do. And so, His presence, He was in the back of the boat. Can I say this to us all? They were coming to the wrong conclusion. They were afraid for their life, but their life was in the back of the ship. His name is Jesus. He was in the back of the ship. His name is Jesus. And we need to come to that conclusion. He's there. Not only do we see the events of life controlled by His promise, controlled by His presence, certainly controlled by His power. Now get this. Look back at our passage there again. Look there, if you will, please, in verse 39. And He arose and rebuked what? Would you write by that the devil? When He rebuked the wind, I'm convinced He was rebuking the devil. You see, I'm convinced every trial that I face, God's in control, but the devil is also trying to do what he can to defeat me and go through my trials. And if he could just work there, matter of fact, I was thinking of the Apostle Paul. Remember when he prayed 3 times to have that thorn in the flesh removed. Who put that there? Who was it? Was it the devil? A lot that goes on in our life, I think we need to realize the devil and his demon world is very present. I believe the demon is working overtime in Florida right now. I know he did over there in Hugo for us. I mean, people were just frantic. We need to trust our Lord. But he was disturbing everything about them. And so we see here, they are controlled by his presence, his promises. He said to the wind, can I put it this way? Shut up! Just shut up. Be still. Just, I'm in charge, not you, devil. I think at times we need to just rebuke the devil and say, God's in charge, not you. And I believe in the power of the Spirit of God, we can have victory if we pray fervently that God would take over and control. I don't know how many, I pray for our president all the time. I may pray for your president. Somebody said to me, I don't pray for that guy. After all, he doesn't believe what I believe. I know he doesn't. But when Paul said, pray for the king and leaders, he knew who was Nero. He killed Christians. Now, my prayer is he'll get saved. I also pray that he'll get removed if he doesn't get saved. Now, I'm not going to get on politics, Brother Lastly. Okay, I'm not going to get my Trump hat out and all that kind of stuff. Don't worry about it. I'm just trying to get us to realize we need to pray for one another and pray for our leaders because the devil is busy in Washington, D.C. tonight, as well as he is in Florida. They are controlled. Storms of life, they're under his control. Controlled by his promises, by his presence, by his power. And here's the purpose. I want you to get the purpose. Look here. Look at verse 29 here. 39. He arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Only God can give you a calmness when you're going through the trials. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. I want you to get that. And then look at verse 40. He said to them, why are you so fearful? Now, I want you to know something. There's two things he wants to do as his two purposes in mind. Number one, to replace human fear with divine fear. There are two kinds of fear. Human fear is a terrible fear. I'm sure some people in Florida right now are wondering if their house is going to fall apart or blown away or whatever's going to happen. But notice what he says here. Why are you so fearful? That's the wrong kind of fear. He wanted to replace that fear. And then notice verse 41. And they feared what? Exceedingly. See, human fear is a terrible fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power to love and of a sound mind. But God wants you to have a fear of God, a reverential respect for God. And when we're going through the trials, we say, Lord, I fear you. Don't fear the trial. Fear him. Because he wants us to focus our attention upon how great a God we have. And they have word fear here has the idea of reverential respect for who he is. Now, I think today we have lost a lot of respect for God. We need to get it back. We need to get it back. Replace the wrong kind of fear, human fear, with divine fear. He said, why are you so fearful? That's the wrong kind of fear. Then he said, they exceedingly feared. It was a divine fear. They said, oh. We were worried that he was asleep, but he's God. He's the fellow that calms the storms of life. He's the one that takes us through the trials. He's the one who is there. Wow. And then secondly, also, not only to replace their human fear with divine fear, but to replenish their faith. He said, how is it you have what? No faith. Now let me make sure we understand something, folks. It's not great faith. It's faith in a great Savior. I want you to get that. It's not great faith. You have no great... Listen, if you've got a great faith, you're fooling yourself. It's faith in a great Savior and a great God tonight. They can take every trial we have and can turn it around. Listen. God has reestablished the faith. And you come over here later, they deal with some more miracles. God used that faith. As we bow our heads tonight, before I turn it over to the pastor, what storm are you going through tonight where you failed? What storm tonight are you facing that you trying to do it yourself? Four things God wants to do for you. Remember those? Perfect, establish, strengthen, settle. Are you following the principle of Genesis 50, verse 20, the 50-20 principle? Everything that happens, God's putting in your life. Where are you tonight? Maybe some have already or at the altar, but if you did, let's all stand together and our brother, maybe the pianist could play first and then he'll lead in a moment a song. But if God spoke to your heart tonight, say, God spoke to me some heart. I need to get, listen, I have, where's my faith? Get it back in the Savior. There's a place for you tonight at the altar. I find most people who are having problems in their spiritual life are blaming God for the things that have happened and saying, Lord, thank you. You're in charge. You never make a mistake. Brother Dan, Pastor, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Amen. Thank you so much. You may look this way. You may be seated. Brother Stevens, thank you for coming our way, and we appreciate that so much. And always good to have him here with us, and he's a blessing, so we thank him for that. Well, we're going to have our business meeting, and...